Blog Talk Radio.
Come on here.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves and the lights and the lights and the lights.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light Radio Show. This is a special edition tonight. Your host this evening is Stevie R. Butler. And on the show tonight, my co-host, Tim Bench from the state of Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just grateful that you're tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We'd ask you to take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you'd like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, just give me a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my co-hosts, you can send your emails to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com. Or you can give me a call at the Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405. Now again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. And if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on the Gospel Light Radio Show.
Light and the light.
In the world listening to this radio broadcast, Stevie B's Media Production presents the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful for the privilege to be able to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask you to bow with me a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we're prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you will be my co-host on the show this evening, Tim Bench. As he breaks unto us the bread of life, we pray that you will continue to bless his family that support his efforts as he continues to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you will bless our listeners who are tuning in to this broadcast through Blog Talk Radio. We pray that they may listen well and that their hearts may be pricked as they consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. And it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to die such a cruel death on Calvary's cross. For we recognize that without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now we ask you to forgive us for the sins we've committed in our minds and our bodies. For we know our flesh is weak and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray that you will continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the broadcast. Our speaker for this evening's broadcast, and like I said, this is a special edition, so we only have one speaker on the show this evening. My co-host, Tim Bench, he serves with the Oham Lane Church of Christ there in Abilene, Texas. He'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ on the broadcast this evening. So open up your Bibles now and open your minds, and let's have a great show. After the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my co-host, Tim Bench. Enjoy the show.
Ooh.
talk with Jesus clears the way.
Talk with Jesus.
Day and night, I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care. Now just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
To the Gospel Light radio show. This is a special edition. Now my co-host Tim Bench and his subject, abortion.
Good evening. As Stevie mentioned, my name is Tim Bench and I'm calling in tonight from Abilene, Texas. This is a special edition broadcast that we are doing for the next 49 minutes. And as was mentioned, our topic is going to be a tumultuous one and a divisive one and a controversial one, and that being the topic of abortion. And I want to start tonight basically with a separate story that's ongoing right now, and that is the huge amount of mayhem and pandemonium that's going on because of the tragedy with the George Floyd situation. And I would ask that all of our listeners, wherever you are tonight, would pray for peace and calm during this very distressing time in the United States. This is difficult for all of us. The racism that has been expounded and seen and exemplified, and we just pray that hearts would be opened and that calmer, cooler heads. I want to start this evening. This is a quote from the Waterbury Church of Christ. Quote, "In the United States, it is statistically confirmed that the most dangerous place for anyone to be with regard to the preservation of life is in the womb of one's own mother," end quote. There have been many outrages and dark deeds in the annals of U.S. history. The near genocide of the American Indian, for example, or the Tuskegee experiments from 1932 to 1972, wherein black citizens were used as literally human guinea pigs with falsified syphilis studies and falsified treatments. There was the implementation of slavery at the birth of this country, not rectified until 1865, and the resulting stories of horror and death and mistreatment, all of which almost defy belief. And I'm sure that all of us, or at least most of us, have heard those stories of atrocity and abuse and terror. All of these examples, however, pale in comparison in the eyes of many to the abomination that the Supreme Court of this nation decreed to be law in 1973. And that law was known as Roe versus Wade, wherein abortion was decreed to be legal within the United States. In early 2018, the total number of aborted children in the U.S. surpassed the 60 million mark. That surpasses the totals of those killed by Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler combined in World War II, and then doubling that number again. Let's stop right here for just a moment and let the magnitude of that number sink in. 60 million victims. 60 million tiny infants, 60 million tiny defenseless children allowed to be slaughtered by your government, all in the name of women's freedom to choose. Your tax dollars going to fund such operations as Planned Parenthood, which carry out these mass murder incidents, while the U.S. government babbles endlessly around the globe about its dedication to the protection of human life and global peace. Much of what you may hear tonight, especially about the origins and stances of Planned Parenthood and its founder, may be shocking or even unbelievable. And for that reason, I want to invite any and all listeners tonight, wherever you may be located, to research for yourself the accuracy of the information which is going to be presented this evening from an array of sources. I want to start our presentation this evening with a citation from Truth Magazine. This is from Mike Willis, entitled, "Is Abortion Sinful?" Quote, "On January 22, 1973, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled on the Roe v. Wade case, striking down Texas law prohibiting abortion. Since 1973, abortion has been legal in the United States. In the court ruling, personhood was denied to the unborn, in spite of the fact that the unborn can be heirs, have the right to sue for damages, and to have a guardian appointed on their behalf, etc. In the years since the 1973 ruling, 20 million unborn babies have been slaughtered in American abortuaries. More Americans have died by abortion than in all the wars in which our soldiers have participated," end quote. The quote here from Willis is from 1990, and in the last 30 years, the horrifying numerical totals have done nothing but increase, tripling from some 20 million to over 60 million, approximately 1.4 million aborted fetuses and aborted lives per year. As we stated earlier, we're going to be looking at abortion from a variety of angles and approaches tonight. We're going to be looking at its history, its rationale, its justification socially and politically, and most of all, we are going to apply what the Bible says to this flashpoint issue. Abortion is very much an issue which affects every facet of our society today. That certainly includes churches, that certainly includes supposed Christians, and the statistics that we are going to consider tonight will be shocking to each and every listener. Later this year, we have an election coming up, and this is one of the prime topics of discussion when we start talking about, well, I'm going to vote Democrat, I'm going to vote Republican. No Christian would vote for this ticket or this ticket. And again, these are some areas which we're going to look at specifically in just a few moments. This is from Andrew Koppelman, titled Forced Labor, a 13th Amendment Defense of Abortion from the Northwest Law Review back in 1990. Quote, when women are compelled to carry and bear children, they are subjected to involuntary servitude in violation of the 13th Amendment, even if the woman has stipulated to have consented to the risk of pregnancy that does not permit the state to force her to remain pregnant, end quote. Again, this would be a legal example of one of the prime examples of why abortion should be allowed. Abortion is, as we might expect, defended from some quarters in academia, even from a biblical perspective. This is from the Biology and History of Abortion from Yale University, Dr. Robert Wyman. Quote, abortion has been known in history as far back as we can trace. The oldest reference is from Egyptian hieroglyphs in tomb paintings. So we're talking about the very earliest civilization. As soon as people can write, they're writing about abortion. By the time of the Roman Empire, there were lots of references to abortion in the literature, and there are no laws against it. The Romans didn't consider it. As I've just mentioned, in the New Testament, it's not mentioned at all, and there's, of course, nothing forbidding it. The New Testament and the Roman Empire are contemporaneous, of course, and so the conclusion is that even though abortion was very, very common at that time and used by all classes of people, there was not an issue for the New Testament writers, end quote. So, what are some of the typical comments made from the pro-choice crowd? Here are some examples. I'm sure many of us have heard a lot of these or similar ones, and a lot of these, although not all of them, are from politicians, as can be expected. From Middle Age Riot, which is a website and political commentary site on Facebook, until a baby comes out of a man's body, an opinion on abortion should not come out of his mouth. From Hillary Rodham Clinton, Hillary Clinton, who ran in the previous election as a Democrat, quote, being pro-choice is trusting the individual to make the right decision for herself and her family, and not entrusting that decision to anyone wearing the authority of government in any regard, end quote. From Bernie Sanders, another Democrat whose recent run for president was terminated, quote, we are not going back. We are not returning to the days of backroom abortions when countless women died or were maimed. The decision about abortion must remain a decision for the woman, her family, and a physician to make, not the government, end quote. As I mentioned earlier, people often make the following assertion, and it is flatly untrue. It is inaccurate, and it is invalid, as we will see. That assertion is that all Democrats support abortion, and likewise, they will argue that all Republicans oppose abortion. Again, and I cannot emphasize this strongly enough, making broad stroke categorical statements about groups with tens of millions of members and people involved is not only a dangerous slippery slope, but makes the one promoting the comments appear as an imbecile if and when he is proven to be wrong. If I make a statement about all people in any group, any exception makes my arguments invalid, and it also destroys any shred of credibility that I might have. This issue is far more detailed and challenging and nuanced than merely Republican versus Democrat or Christian versus non-Christian. And again, those who make such baseless assertions do far more harm to their arguments than they do good. Again, and I want to emphasize this, when someone summarily decrees that all fill-in-the-blank engage in some specific behavior, it takes one and only one proven exception to demolish the credibility of the person making that argument. So if we are going to effectively address hot-button social and moral and biblical issues, we actually need to do some valid research, and we actually need to present our listeners with accurate and cited and documented analysis and not merely broad sweeping declarations, which end up being wrong in the first place. Point number one I want to make. This is from Fortune Magazine, July 24, 2018. 52% of Republican voters polled expressed support for Roe v. Wade. Again, 52%, over half of Republicans expressed support for Roe v. Wade itself. There are actually entire Republican groups, entire Republican political action committees, which support abortion. Here's one example. You can go online and look at this. The group is called Republican Majority for Choice. And on their website, it says about RMC, and this is what they say, and keep in mind, this is a Republican group. RMC is a national organization with members truly committed to limiting the scope of government and in the personal lives of Americans. We as Republicans believe because we believe in the rights and power of the individual. The common refrain, again, that we hear that all Republicans are anti-abortion is thus proven irrefutably false. Here's another quote from this group from the RMC. Individuals and families have the right to unfettered access to reproductive choices, from education to abstinence, contraception, motherhood, adoption, and safe legal abortion. On the other hand, there are Democrat groups which actively oppose abortion. Again, this is further evidence that this issue has evolved far beyond whether this is a clear-cut party issue. It is no longer, oh, all Democrats think this and all Republicans think this. Here's another example. This is a Democrat group, and you can go online and look at this, at democratsforlife.org, and it states specifically that they oppose abortion. They are pro-life. In fact, the heading on their page says in big giant letters, one in three Democrats are pro-life. In other words, they oppose abortion. Quite obviously, this is not merely a conservative versus liberal issue or a Republican versus Democrat issue, as so many would have you believe. Some examples from brothers within the church. Not only all Democrats are lumped in as abortion supporters, but to where Democrats and abortion are actually the basis of jokes and attempts at humor. This was from a Facebook group several weeks ago. There was actually a member who was talking about the weather. He said he was going to start getting ready to open the pool until I saw the weather forecast, quote, winter is like a bunch of Democrats voting for abortion, just won't quit, end quote. No good whatsoever comes from that sort of asinine, ill-informed, flippant comment such as this. And humor about this topic is every bit as vile as cutting jokes about lynchings of blacks or of the Holocaust in the 1930s and 1940s. I was absolutely floored to see a supposed preacher within the Church of Christ cutting jokes, trying to be funny about the horrors of abortion. Here is statistical, proven, documented truth. Gallup polling data from May 2014 indicated that over 50% of Americans, 58% specifically, believe that abortion should be legal under certain circumstances. 28% believe abortion should be legal under any circumstances, with only 21% saying that abortion should be illegal in all circumstances. And these numbers are actually increasing, going up. You can look at the Pew Forum, Pew polling from 2007. Again, the number of Americans who approved of abortion for any reason has gone from 51% to 58%. So again, this is an approval rating which is going up and going up substantially just in the last few years. What about views of abortion by religious group? As we look at all these numbers and statistics and data tonight, this to me is the most stunning. And I want to read you off some percentages from some different groups, religious groups. These are the numbers within these groups who actually approve of abortion, not disapprove, that actually approve of abortion. For example, within the Buddhist faith, 82% promote abortion and say it's morally acceptable. 70% of the Protestant unaffiliated, 83% of Jews in the United States believe that abortion is a moral right. 63% of Orthodox Christians, 60% of mainline Protestants, 48% of Catholics. The Catholics here are actually one of the lower numbers that are polled. Again, we look at these numbers and your jaw drops open where you have 83, 82, 70, 63% of these various groups who believe that abortion is a moral right and should be allowable. And we will look at some more detail on that in a few minutes. There are ideological gaps in both political parties, Democrat versus Republican, in views of abortion, but that gap, that statistical gap, is far less than what you might think. Within Republicans, moderate to liberal Republicans, which most Republicans would consider themselves to be that, 58%, as we said earlier, believe that abortion should be legal in all or most cases versus 68% of the Democrats. But again, there's only about a 10% difference between those two numbers. You have a majority of Democrats, obviously, who feel that abortion is morally acceptable, and you have well over 50% of Republicans, 58% specifically, who will say the same thing. That is from the September 18th to 24th, 2018 polling from the Pew Research Center. Let's get away from political parties and let's look at religious groups. Again, we want to talk about this and then we want to delve into some of the history of abortion. And again, we want to conclude tonight with, most importantly, what the Bible has to say about this. And I think here is some more fascinating research from the Pew Research Center, specifically on American religious groups. The groups that statistically say that abortion should be illegal in all or most cases, the highest number comes from the Jehovah's Witnesses at 75%. The Mormons at 70% will oppose abortion. The denomination, the Church of God, based in Cleveland, Tennessee, is at 77%. The Assemblies of God is at 71%. Followed by the Southern Baptist Convention, which is at 66%. And again, the Southern Baptist Convention typically is looked at as very conservative in all political and social aspects, and they are statistically at 66%. But again, that leaves the amazing number of 34%, even within the Southern Baptist faith, who agree or will argue that abortion is permissible. Again, and I want to emphasize this point, the assumption is often that church members or Christians are categorically opposed to abortion. As we've seen here, nothing could be further from the truth. Again, from the Pew Research Center, this is from Americans' Views on Abortion by Religious Group, and I want to read you some different religious groups, and again, the percentages of those polled who say that abortion is acceptable and morally justified. These numbers are staggering. At the top of the list, and this is not unexpected, the Unitarian Universalist, 90% of that group believes that abortion should be legal. Atheist at 87%, agnostic at 87%. Those are not shocking. Judaism, the Jewish in the United States at 83% claim that abortion should be allowable. 79% of the Episcopal Church, 72% of the United Church of Christ. Notice that each of these that I'm listing are very big, well-known, powerful, influential groups. The Presbyterian Church, 65%. The African Methodist Episcopal Church, 64%. The United Methodist Church, 58%. The Anglican Church, 56%. The Presbyterian Church of the United States, 54%. And it keeps going down, all the way down to the Churches of Christ. Here is a staggering number, and I know that many of our listeners are members of the Church of Christ. 36% of the Church of Christ across the United States believes abortion should be permissible. Now, I know that some people will say, well, we're conservative. We have a very conservative congregation. It can't be 36% at our church. That may be the case. At your church, you may be only 30% or only 25%, whereas there are other churches where it may be higher. It may be 40 or 42%, but the overall percentage of members of the Church of Christ is 36%. And amazingly, if you're sitting in a church of 200 people this coming Sunday, on average, you're going to have about 72 people sitting in that audience who believe that abortion is acceptable. And again, that is amazing to me. Again, the bottom line that we all need to keep in mind is that over one-third of the members of the Churches of Christ support abortion as a practice, period. We often hear about the United Church of Christ, and there are those who will actually get the Church of Christ and the United Church of Christ confused, and they'll actually think that those two groups are a part of the same, under the same leadership. They are not. The United Church of Christ, as per their formal stance on abortion, has this on their website, and I want to share this with you. Again, this is a very well-known, powerful, influential group, and they actually take the position that abortion is completely morally justified. I want to read to you from their website. This is the United Church of Christ biography. Quote, God has given us life. Life is sacred and good. God has also given us the responsibility to make decisions which reflect a reverence for life in circumstances when conflicting realities are present. Jesus affirmed women are full partners in the faith, capable of making decisions that affect their lives. The United Church of Christ has affirmed and reaffirmed since 1971 that access to safe and legal abortion is consistent with a woman's right to follow the dictates of her own faith and beliefs in determining when and if she should have children. We have also supported that women with limited financial means should be able to receive public funding in order to exercise her legal right to the full range of reproductive health services. What is legally available to women must be accessible to all women. End quote. Again, not emphasizing the point here, not only do they believe that abortion should be legal and available, but that, again, my tax dollars and your tax dollars should be used to help fund those. This is a citation from James W. Hester titled The Bible on Abortion. Quote, by the end of the second week of pregnancy, there is a distinct embryo present, the fetus, has a developing brain and a rudimentary heart. By the end of the third week of pregnancy, the fetus has the beginning of vertebrae, developing eyes and ears, a closed circulatory system separate from the mother's, a working heart, the beginnings of lungs and budding limbs. By the end of the fourth week of pregnancy, the fetus has the beginnings of vertebrae, developing eyes and ears, a closed circulatory, a working heart, a developing nose, and a pancreas. This is the beginning of a human being. Yet those who believe in the woman's right to choose disregard the fact that after only 9 weeks, unborn babies can feel pain, yet 48% of all abortions are done after this point, end quote. I've read on Facebook several people have made the comment that these liberal schools, these Ivy League schools are always, and universities and colleges are always promoting abortion. That is not accurate. This is a quote from Dr. Matthew Roth from Harvard University. This is an article on pregnancy. This appeared in the Encyclopedia Britannica, quote, "It is scientifically correct to say that individual human life begins at conception, and a new individual is created when the elements of a potent sperm merge with those of a fertile egg," end quote. So again, I'm trying to put to rest a lot of these public perceptions, social perceptions, political party perceptions, certainly religious group perceptions that flatly are not accurate. And if we are going to discuss this, if we are going to effectively do battle, so to speak, with abortion and try to oppose this effectively, these are the sorts of facts that we need to know and need to have access to. Planned Parenthood is often praised as an organization dedicated to the health of women, yet very few know about or even care about the stunning views of Margaret Sanger, who was the founder of the organization. Sanger had little interest in health issues for women and was far more focused on her racially charged eugenics efforts. We consider her exact quotes for the next few minutes, all of which are cited and referenced. If any listener would like a copy, I want every listener to ask yourself how anyone under any circumstances could possibly support this organization. And again, I'm going to give you several quotes and citations here from Margaret Sanger. However stunning or astounding these may be, I would be more than happy to supply the documentation of these and the proofs of these to anyone who would request these. First of all, in an interview with John Parsons in 1947, quote, "But for my view, I believe that there should be no more babies," end quote. From the wickedness of creating large families back in 1920, this is an actual quote from Margaret Sanger, quote, "The most merciful thing that the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it," end quote. From a letter to Dr. Clarence Gamble, December 10, 1939, quote, "We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population," end quote. From Margaret Sanger, an autobiography published in 1938, page 366, quote, this is Margaret Sanger speaking, "I accepted an invitation to talk to the women's branch of the Ku Klux Klan. I was escorted to the platform, was introduced, and began to speak. In the end, through simple illustrations, I believed I had accomplished my purpose. A dozen invitations to speak to similar groups were proffered," end quote. This is from an interview with journalist Mike Wallace in 1957. Again, this is Margaret Sanger speaking, quote, "I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world that have disease from their parents, that have no chance in the world to be a human being practically. Delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things just marked when they're born. To me, that is the greatest sin that people can commit," end quote. From Women and the New Race, 1920, quote, "The most serious evil of our times is that of encouraging the bringing into the world of large families. The most immoral practice of the day is breeding too many children," end quote. From Margaret Sanger, Birth Control and Racial Betterment, quote, "Eugenics without birth control seems to us a house built upon the sands. It is at the mercy of the rising stream of the unfit," end quote. Now, unfit sounds eerily similar to the sort of language that Adolf Hitler would use just a few years later during World War II. From the eugenic value of birth control propaganda, again from Margaret Sanger, page 5, quote, "As an advocate of birth control, I wish to take advantage of the present opportunity to point out the unbalance between the birth rate of the unfit and the fit. Admittedly, now get this, the greatest present menace to civilization can never be rectified by the inauguration of a cradle competition between these two classes," end quote. Margaret Sanger wanted the quote unfit to be exterminated, And again, you have to wonder how many people who promote and support Planned Parenthood today actually know about these horrific views of their founder. More from Sanger, from the Eugenic Value of Birth Control Propaganda, page 5. The most urgent problem today is how to limit and discourage the over-fertility of the mentally and physically defective, end quote. From Sanger, when should a woman avoid having children? This is from Birth Control Review in 1918, quote, no more children should be born when the parents, though healthy themselves, find out that their children are physically or mentally defective, end quote. From Sanger, America needs a code for babies, from March of 1934, quote, a marriage license shall in itself give husband and wife only the right to a common household and not the right to parenthood, end quote. From America needs a code for babies, quote, no woman shall have the legal right to bear a child and no man shall have the right to become a father without a permit for parenthood, end quote. I know that many of our listeners, most of our listeners, wherever you may be located tonight, and whether male or female, are parents and have had children. How would you like to have gotten a permit for being a parent from the government? From America Needs a Code for Babies, quote, permits for parenthood shall be issued upon application by city, county, or state authorities to married couples, providing that they are financially able to support the expected child, have the qualifications needed for proper rearing of the child, have no transmissible diseases, and on the woman's part, no medical indication that maternity is likely to result in death or permanent injury to health, end quote. Sanger continues and says, quote, no permit for parenthood shall be valid for more than one birth, end quote. In other words, if you get approved to have one child, you would have to go through the entire application process again for the next child and for the next child. From Margaret Sanger in My Way to Peace, and this is referenced actually at NYU, the University of New York City, quote, apply a stern and rigid policy of sterilization and segregation to that grade of population whose progeny is tainted or whose inheritance is such that objectionable traits may be transmitted to offspring, end quote. This is absolutely horrifying. And again, this doesn't just vaguely remind someone of Nazi Germany verbiage in the late 1930s. This is exactly akin to Nazi Germany verbiage. From Highlights in the History of Birth Control, October 1923, quote, these two words, birth control, sum up our whole philosophy. It means the release and cultivation of the better elements in our society and the gradual suppression, elimination, and eventual extinction of defective stocks, these human weeds which threaten the blooming of the finest flowers of American civilization, end quote. From The Pivot of Civilization, quote, organized charity itself is the symptom of a malignant social disease, end quote. From the Pope's position on birth control, again, all of these quotes are from Margaret Sanger. My own position is that the Catholic doctrine is illogical, not in accordance with science, and definitely against social welfare and race improvement, end quote. From Morality and Birth Control, from March 1918, again, this is through NYU, quote, all of our problems are the result of overbreeding among the working class. Knowledge of birth control is essentially moral. Its general, though prudent, practice must lead to a higher individuality and ultimately to a cleaner race, end quote. From the Pivot of Civilization, quote, feeble-mindedness perpetuates itself from the ranks of those who are blandly indifferent to their racial responsibilities, and it is largely this type of humanity we are now drawing upon to populate our world for the generations to come. In this orgy of multiplying and replenishing the earth, this type is comparable, multiplying and perpetuating those direst evils in which we must, if civilization is to survive, root out by the very roots, end quote. From Women in the New Race, from 1920, quote, birth control itself, often denounced as a violation of natural law, is nothing more or less than the facilitation of the process of weeding out the unfit, of preventing the birth of defectives or of those who will become defectives. If we are to make racial progress, this development of womanhood must precede motherhood in every individual woman, end quote. We've heard all of these, and I want to conclude with what may be the most astonishing of all these observations, again, from Margaret Sanger, the so-called champion of women's rights that so many promote. Listen carefully to what Margaret Sanger had to say. Quote, hordes of people are born who live, yet who have done absolutely nothing to advance their race one iota. Their lives are hopeless repetition. Such human weeds clog up the path, drain up the energies and the resources of this little earth. We must clear the way for a better world. We must cultivate our garden. Instead of decreasing and aiming to eliminate the stocks that are most detrimental to the future of the race and the world, it tends to render them to a menacing degree dominant. We are paying for and even submitting to the dictates of an ever-increasing, unceasingly spawning class of human beings who should never have been born at all. Birth control must ultimately lead to a cleaner race, end quote. Despite this mind-boggling evil, and despite this abominable viewpoint of racial disposability, so to speak, and despite this flying in the face of biblical precedent, there are church groups, not just social groups or civic groups today, but actually church groups which wholeheartedly embrace Planned Parenthoods and their efforts. For example, from the October 22, 2018 Life News website, quote, on the evening of November 9, the so-called Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice is planning a blessing of the Planned Parenthood Abortion Center. This appears to be a response to the closing ceremony of the 40 Days of Life campaign. This event is called Holy Ground, Blessing the Sacred Space of Decision, and an event description reads as follows. During this clinic blessing, participants will gather with local faith leaders and guests to ask for God's blessing upon Planned Parenthood of Greater Ohio's East Columbus surgical facility, the abortion providers and staff, and all of those who will pass through this center, end quote. And again, that's available at lifenews.com. Some of the world's most well-known religious leaders from a variety of faiths, not just from the Church of Christ, have chimed in on this subject. From Mother Teresa, and it's interesting, before we read Mother Teresa's quote, the Catholic Church actually opposes abortion statistically better than a lot of these other groups that we named. From Mother Teresa, quote, there are two victims in every abortion, a dead baby and a dead conscience, end quote. From Mahatma Gandhi, it seems to me as clear as daylight that abortion would be a crime, end quote. And finally, from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was killed by the Nazis at the conclusion of World War II, quote, destruction of the embryo in the mother's womb is a violation of the right to live, which God has bestowed upon this nascent life. To raise the question whether we are more concerned with a human being is not merely simply to confuse the issue. The simple fact is that God certainly intended to create a human being, and that this nascent human being has been deliberately deprived of his life, and that is nothing but murder, end quote. We've looked at the political affiliations. We've looked at a lot of the statistics. We've looked at a lot of the history. And again, let's get down to the most important question. What does the Bible have to say about the unborn? And the Bible is very clear about the unborn. So let's take a look tonight at this. The Bible very clearly describes the unborn fetus as a human being. Psalm 139, verses 13, 14, 15, and 16, David talks about life. Let's read this together, starting in verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, in that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought up in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. David here says three very important things. Number one, that God created us. Number two, that God saw us. We're specifically told, your eyes saw my unformed substance. Your eyes saw what was happening. And number three, God planned our days. These are three truths from David that every one of us can read and be aware of that were established before we were even born. Second point, the unborn are called babies specifically in the Bible. They're not referred to as globs or something which doesn't really exist or ill-formed. Luke chapter 1, verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, and the baby, which was John the Baptist, leaped for joy in the womb. Luke chapter 2, verse 12, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. This baby was Jesus, the baby Jesus, and the baby still in the womb, by the way. The life of the unborn is protected by the same punishment for death as a child or an adult. Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 to 25. This is important to read. If men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall surely be punished according to the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, thou shalt then give life for life, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. If that baby was to die because of misdeed, life was to be taken for life. The Bible saying that the same punishment as would come upon someone who killed an adult would come upon someone who killed a child, even an unborn child, according to Exodus the verse 22 in chapter 21. The Bible says that even unborn children possess distinctive human traits. The unborn are called by God even before birth. Genesis chapter 25, verses 21 through 26, two babies jostled within her, and she said, why is this happening to me? And she went to inquire of the Lord. We all know that those two babies were Jacob and Esau, fighting it out, so to speak. They were alive. These were not merely blobs of cells or not merely unborn embryos. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 through 5, Isaiah says the following about himself. Starting in verse 1, listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb, to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. We're running out of time. We've only got about 4 minutes left. I want to make one thing abundantly clear about both myself as well as Glenn McMillan and Stevie Butler and everyone else associated with the Gospel Light radio show. no one affiliated with this effort condones or approves of or would suggest in any form, way, or fashion any physical violence ever against abortion supporters or abortion providers, ever. The actual murders of abortion providers by the likes of Paul Hill and Scott Roeder and Eric Rudolph and their ilk are every bit as morally repugnant as the babies who are killed by abortionists. Why would anyone think that murder is an acceptable and viable action versus those who commit murder? Again, that's nonsensical and idiotic to murder those you're likewise angry with for murder in the first place. And again, I want to emphasize that any physical violence against any person is illegal, it is immoral, and most of all, it is unscriptural. The course to take versus abortion is to illustrate to people its reprobate morality and its background and its history and what the Bible has to say it about it, not to inflict physical harm on those we disagree with. And in doing so, that only serves to embolden and make even more resolute those who support and promote abortion. Here is the bottom line, so to speak, for tonight. Abortion is an abomination. Abortion is a murderous assault on the unborn. Abortion proponents typically have little to no knowledge of the foundational tenets of the very groups they support, such as Planned Parenthood that we've talked about. The Bible very clearly says the killing of the unborn is a sin. And if we are to effectively combat the growing levels of acceptance of and approval for abortion as a practice, we have to do away with the tired, inane Republican versus Democrat argument. We have to realize that the approval of this practice has infected our churches, it has infected our schools, it has infected the media, and regardless of one's political affiliation, whether one says, oh, I'm a Republican, or I'm a Democrat, or I'm an independent, it doesn't matter. It has infected every area of our lives and every one of our social values, every one of our social systems, regardless of whether one calls himself or herself a Christian. We do nothing but make fools of ourselves when we make simple-minded political comments. We actually serve to embolden supporters of abortion who very openly mock the fact that Christians often have no idea about the demographics and numbers of the very effort they claim to be battling in the first place. We are out of time. I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. And again, we always hope that this special edition, along with every one of the shows that appear on the Gospel Light, are educational and beneficial and will provide food for thought and for further study and analysis, again, using the Bible as the basis of all that we do. But again, as we've talked about, the Bible cannot be more clear on the sanctity of human life and thus the abomination that is abortion. With this closing tonight, I want to conclude by saying that with this presentation tonight and any of the presentations you ever hear on the Gospel Light, if there are ever any questions or comments that we can, any of our listeners with, please feel free to call us, to email us, to send us a message on Facebook. We would be more than happy at any time to address any questions or any studies or any topics that anyone out there might need to have further study on or might want us to address on the air. We want to thank everyone for being with us tonight. We certainly hope, again, that this has been beneficial to you. Again, my name is Tim Bench, and thank you so much for being with us this evening. Good night.
Rescue when I call, and Lord. hide away every thought less deep. How it seems upset that, Lord, you give not what I am due, but mercy, you come to my rescue. You come to my rescue. You come to my rescue. Being there for my rescue. And Lord, I give all I can give, all of my heart, long as I shall live. So Lord, oh Lord, I just want to thank you for coming. For coming to my rescue, you come
to my rescue.
You come to my rescue. Breath gonna let you know.
I am accepting, though I can't comprehend
how I could be worth the cost when I was bound to find the Lord. I give all I can give.
All
of my heart, long as I shall live. So Lord, oh Lord, I just want to thank you.
I really want to thank you
for coming to my rescue.
You come to my rescue.
You come to my rescue.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning into the broadcast. We certainly appreciate those who've been following our radio show on Blog Talk Radio and also on social media. Every now and then, our co-hosts will go live on Facebook Live as they present their presentation. I want to thank my co-host, Tim Bench, for that subject on abortion tonight, and we certainly appreciate his efforts. And we try to present this lesson every so often on the broadcast, because there's just so much uncertainty on this subject and so much misinformation regarding this topic. So we try to present this lesson periodically on this radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just thrilled to be able to bring you a weekly broadcast, and it's our prayer that the lessons that are given on this radio show are beneficial to your spiritual lives, and your relationship with the Lord is strengthened because you're not only tuning in to this radio show, but you've given yourself over to a study of God's Word. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and I want to say on behalf of all of my co-hosts on the Gospel Light Radio Show, we really do appreciate your love and support for these programs. And I'd like to wish each and every one of you a good night, and God bless you. You've been listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. This has been a special edition.
You can't have me no more. You're out the door.
Devil, you're going down.
Devil, you are going down. Devil, you are going down. Devil, you are going down.
You can hurt my life.
Devil,
no
more.
Going
down
with your silly game. What a shame. Rebuke you in Jesus' name.
Devil,
you are going down.
Edition.
Singing, working 2 or 3 jobs to make it through, to take care of those little ones who seldom say that they appreciate you. That's when I think of you, God. How you could have quit, but you died for a song anyway. Then my problems just don't seem so large. It's just a rough day. So speak into my heart, Lord. Troubles all around me in this place. Sometimes it gets so heavy. I just don't think that I can face another day. That's when I think of heaven. Ooh-wee. When troubled days are over, I can hear you say, oh, welcome home, my child. No more of death. Tears falling down my face, I say, shut up, shut up. Sometimes I don't need no words, I just say. Oh Lord, I never get so rough on me, y'all. Late at night, when you think you don't have no way out, just remember. Remember that joy comes in the morning, yeah. Then you can go on your way, knowing that it's just a rough day. Oh, Lordy, it's just a rough day, yeah.